Beloved, for your words and your presence touch my heart deeply. Sitting silently with you makes me softer and softer. It feels so good. My longing for truth has never been as clear as now. I only want the truth. The softer and softer you get, and the clearer and clearer you get, the more you get in touch with your truth. If it's only hardness and you are not in contact with any truth, then you cannot long for truth, no? So this will follow spontaneously. The more you come back, the more you want it, no? You people even get addicted to chocolate, no? But if you never taste it, then you never get addicted, no? You have to taste it. Then you want more. That was so sweet. What to say about truth, what to say about this longing is much more powerful, no? It will change everything when you have tasted it. Only if you haven't tasted it, then people, they don't long for it. That is the sign that you have touched it. Then you want more. The false is just keeping me away from life, from expanding, from love. I feel an openness I have not felt before, like all the walls have been torn down. And with the walls down, there is nowhere to hide. And that is perfect, because I don't want to hide anymore. Like the flowers you were talking about, I want to come out in the sun. Now the sun comes, no? Just now it came, no? And to be open to whatever wants to be expressed through me and live it. I don't want to waste more energy holding back. You say the false is just keeping me away from life. Is the false? That is the only thing, you let go of that which is false and everything is perfect. Sounds very easy, you know. But first we have to become aware, you know, what is the false. And also, like you say, realize that no, you don't want that anymore. Not allowing my soul to speak makes me feel dead. But now that is past, no more deadness. Silence is a blessing. Beloved, thank you. In silence, it feels easy to be me. I feel free. In deep gratitude, thank you, Swaha. Thank you. Yours, Mahima. Then you wrote one more, no? You have to go back today? No, we're going into silence, no? That is okay. Take care of it. Beloved Babaji, I don't know the art of communicating through language and words. It's like I never get it right. I don't understand what people really mean when they speak. No. Normally, they also don't know what they mean. I just talked about that yesterday. They just blabber. So if you're conscious, the more conscious you get, the more weird it is to listen to people talk, ordinary, unconscious people. Because they don't know what they're talking about. They are like automatic. They just talk. And they are not in touch with what they feel, so it cannot be true what they talk. What to say about the deeper in them? The wise ones always have said, those who talk, they don't know. And those who know, they don't talk. Because the truth you cannot talk about. Only once in a blue moon, some crazy expression of truth comes, like through this one. They try to talk, but they don't talk. Something else is talk. It's your own longing that is talking through me. That helps you to understand that silence is the best. If you are silent, which very, very few people touch, because they are lost in noise, lost in the mind. The mind is always noisy, restless, chattering. So, to come back to silence, you have to prepare yourself for silence. That's what I'm doing here slowly. I'm preparing you for meditation, for silence. Then when you enjoy the silence, because otherwise people, they don't understand about meditation. They don't understand about silence. Because you cannot go straight from noise into silence. It's like a shock. You have to prepare yourself. And how do you prepare? You have to unburden yourself. That all the techniques, all the gibberish, all the meditation, all the processes, is just to unburden yourself, to clean you. So slowly, slowly, you get into an appreciation of silence. And from that silence, you see clearly how things are. Because you are unpolluted by the mind, by the chattering mind, which is running everybody's life. So the more you become quiet and silent, and enjoying that silence, which you can only enjoy if you are unburdened, if you are clean. So ordinary people cannot go into meditation, they cannot go into silence, because they haven't unburdened themselves. It's an emptying out. When you are emptied out and you feel happy in your being, you are connected to your heart, then it's very easy. It's a natural. You want to go deeper then. You want to know yourself better. Then meditation is effortless. You want to. Your own understanding, your own longing of your soul is pulling you deeper in. But that is only after you have gotten in touch with it. Through the mind you have never, you don't understand what's the point. And if somebody just sits down, then they are only meeting their own mad mind. So before meditation can happen, you have to unburden yourself. So, you are a sensitive woman, Mahima. You have always been in contact with this, but you felt outside, which many people do when they are more sensitive. You don't fit in the society, which is a very good sign. Because the society is more like machines, they are like robots. It means you have a different understanding, you have a different intelligence that you start questioning. Is this really how it is? I don't understand what people really mean when they speak. So much of my energy goes into trying to understand how to socialize through words. My mind has the idea it is the most important way of communicating, but mostly it makes me confused, feeling stupid or lost. Yeah, that is how the mind is. And the mind can only communicate through the words, through language. And that's where most people are now. But then they miss a whole different way of communicating with whole existence now. And what is the universal language? That is silence. It is love. That is the language of the gods, no? But you have to be very silent to listen to that language. In fact, you don't need the mind. The mind is a hindrance there. You have to listen from your heart. And in that language, you understand everybody, because you're coming from the core. Otherwise, oh, we speak English, we speak Chinese, we speak Portuguese, we speak German. You don't understand. Everybody is stuck in their culture. You have to go beyond that to really understand. It's nothing to do with language. Language is needed to communicate on the surface. But hopefully you go deeper than the language. Then you will understand everything. This is why I many times feel that I have to be myself. What is it that is so powerful about language and words? I don't know. I do know, because people live on the surface. They only understand language and words. They don't understand feelings, they don't understand their emotions, they don't understand silence, they don't understand love. Then you need language desperately to communicate. But if you're really in your center, in your being, then you understand everything. Just with the look, you can see if everything is okay, or if you are in pain, or if you are confused. Everything is very clear. You feel the energy, you see in the eyes how people are. You can sense everything because you are in tune. You don't need language then. But because nobody is in themselves, in their real being, they are camouflaged behind the language and their knowledge, which is not trustworthy for who they are. People many times said to me that they get uncomfortable when I don't speak. Yes. Because they don't understand silence. But please don't get sucked into their ideas how you should be. And if you don't know, then you can, even if you are sensitive, then you become very wavering. Oh, something is wrong with me. Only by knowing yourself and this clear space in yourself, then you get a different power, different insight. That it's okay to be like me, and let people think what they want. It doesn't matter. What is it with silence in a social context that seems to scare people or annoy them? Because it's unknown. That's why it scares them. Anything that is unknown scares people. And not to be looked at as ignorant, as fools, they never say it. They try to hide over it, anything that they don't know. That's why. In society, what silence is there in society? Nobody is teaching about silence. Nobody is teaching about meditation. Nobody is teaching about truth. That's why they are afraid of it. And that's why they are annoyed. That's why they are annoyed with the truth. Anything that is unknown, they have to judge. Because it hurts the ego to accept, I don't know. And this I don't know is the only beginning from where you can start looking at yourself and go deeper. But the ego will never accept, I don't know, because that is painful. The ego wants to know. And the only way is to talk. And remember, somebody from the ego can talk much better than even an enlightened one. Because they can be a master of language, no? They can be trained. Hitler was a fantastic speaker. He had something, he could speak and get everybody worked up to a frenzy. Totally unbelievable. But who do you think is closer to truth? Hitler or Ramana Maharshi? He was just sitting in silence. He didn't want to speak. What to say about Ramana Maharshi? Meher Baba went totally into silence. Because they know to understand my message, you have to go into silence. It's not about the words. But this whole dimension of the mystics, of the enlightened ones, of the masters, is totally hidden from society. In fact, it's very annoying. It's annoying, it's scary, because it's unknown. So they brush it aside, like it's not there. Like silence is not there either. Only noise is there. They understand noise, and the bigger the noise, the more they understand. But silence, they don't understand. For the silence, you have to become silent yourself. And that will challenge anybody who lives in noise. I think this is why I feel so free in the silence. I don't have to put any energy into the language and the words. I can just be. Yes. That's all I want you to do, Mahima. Just be. Relax. Be happy. Everything is perfect. Look now how happy. You just smile now. That is the sign. You have to follow. I say, you have to follow your own happiness. Now, when you feel joy, that is the right sign. When you feel silence, when you feel a deep contentment, no? That is the right sign. It's the only right sign that has to come from the inside. Then take notice, where do you not feel comfortable? Then ask yourself next question, why do I go here? Go to those places you feel comfortable, no? Where you can be yourself. That doesn't mean that you should disappear from society or the world. No, just be aware of it. You can play the games, but don't take any notice, because no, you know. Let people judge you, whatever, it doesn't matter. Or just smile to them a little more, like, at least she is a nice girl. She can't talk much, but she's nice. So that's it. Everybody likes nice people, no? You don't need to try that, I can talk. No, not that. Then it's much better that they think, she's a little stupid, no? Like that. It's much better. Then you can have peace. You have mystics, they have behaved like they are mad, no? Because then they are left alone, nobody bothers about them. Or like beggars, you know? Then they are left alone. And meeting the friends in the Who Am I, face to face, speaking one at a time, I feel so deeply connected with my friends. Even though we are not communicating with each other or trying to solve anything, I love you. Thank you. Yours, Mahima. Yes. Just be. And there is nothing to solve. There is only to be. Just to be present now, relaxed as yourself now. That's it. Then life will take care. Very good. Didn't you work in the kindergarten? Before. And now? In the grown-up garden? Huh? Studying. Then you know about words, no? Because they only use words, no? Then I can understand it's very freeing to come here with me because here you can study just in silence. Huh? Study silence. Hmm? Isn't that a relief? What do I need to do to study silence? Just become silent. Ah. No competition either, no? Hmm? No stress that you have to make the exam. Hmm? Ah. What a relief. Nobody expect anything from you. Ah, my God. Tirt. How's it going, Tirt? You are leaving also? Yeah. I haven't heard anything from you now. How come?
I have a lot of doubt.
Doubt? Doubt about what? No, bring it forth. Don't sit with doubt. Throw it out. Throw out the doubt. Don't keep the doubt. Throw it out. Throw it this way and I will whoppa. I did try to play baseball, so I have a little bit. Okay. You see, I love you, Tirt. I didn't let you go. I had to catch you, know you. You don't say anything, I have to get it out. You don't leave with doubt. It's not a good companion. What is the doubt, Tirt? No, it looks a bit silly, the whole doubt. Show it, tell me. No, you don't know. No. So is there any doubt? Now? No, look for it. Then don't say, I don't know. Look. If there is any, now is the time. Now is the time to it. To get it out. To clarify it. You can't find it. Can you accept that? Huh? Can you accept it? Yeah? And how does that feel? Is no doubt. What does that do to you? See if you can really take it in. It's no doubt yet. This heavy doubt that was like a fog pressing you down, it's not there. You believed in it, but you haven't really put your light on and looked. Where is it? You really look, it's not there. Ghosts are so embarrassed that when you don't believe, they disappear. Just bring in the light. Then, how is it now? No doubt. Believe. No belief. Breathe. Knowing. Or breathe.
Relief.
Yes. Relief. Then relief. Breathe in that belief. Relief. Relief is good, no? Very good relief. So, say something from this state of relief, of openness. Then what you want to say then? What do you want to say from a state of relief and openness? Ah! Can you say something more than ah? Nothing. You wrote me a letter that I will help you more, okay? I don't let you go like that. No, no. My man, Tiet man. You wrote to me before when you were not here. Beloved Swaha, I feel the most important thing is to write to you. As soon as I begin to think about what to write, it becomes very difficult and complicated. Yes, don't think. I still feel that the most important thing in my life is to stay in contact with you. Yes, don't have any doubt then. You are in contact with me. Then know that without any doubt. Don't let any doubt come in the way to it. The most important thing in my life is to stay connected to you, in contact with you, and to spend time together with you. But I also have a hard time putting it into reality. Latest was my daughter's anorexia, which kept me home from Brazil last November. I see that in relation with my kids and my family, there is a lot of guilt and responsibility that I try to live up to. And in that, I totally set myself aside. And then I don't feel I can really be happy together with them anyway. Somehow, it also feels like excuses not to be responsible for myself. For some reason, this is really deep ingrained. Then I also feel ashamed that I cannot stand up for myself. And so the vicious circle goes around. A weak body with a strong mind. Sometimes I really doubt if it's possible for me to go beyond my doubt and fear. somehow, sometimes also doubt if I at all belong with you and the Sangha, if I deserve it. How can I help myself to get out of this trap of the mind and go beyond my fear? Miss you. I love you. Tirth. No. The doubt is gone. Isn't it? The fear. Is it any fear? No. Doubt is gone. Fear is gone. Connection is established. Huh? How does it feel now, Tirth? Huh? Relief. Good. Very good, like Mukunda said. Very good. So, I can understand your problem in your daily life, and many people have problems, so-called, not problems, but issues like this to deal with in their life, no? It can be family, it can be children, it can be parents, it can be getting money, it can be work in the relationship, all kinds of things, no? But concerning you, you shouldn't have any guilt for your kids or anything, because it's just ridiculous that you are trying to take care of them. You should take care of yourself. Your body is weak and you're putting extra attention on you. So drop that for God's sake now. That's why I don't want you to leave before you hear this, no? So that is the first. Don't play that game anymore. And then you set yourself aside. And then you can't be really happy together or with them anyway. So what's the point? People have to take care of themselves and be happy with yourself first. And it's totally crazy if you try to take care of them. It doesn't work. You have seen that. But even then, this mind, this guilt, this conditioning keeps on going and keeps you down. So my suggestion is, which I think I've said to you before, if it's possible, you should just take care of yourself and come into the Sangha. We love you, Tirth. And instead of trying to take care of other people, take care of yourself now. Accept it. Allow it. And instead of paying people in the Danish government or something, you could even pay sannyasins. Many people don't have a job. They will be. Isn't that much nicer to have one of these people to help you? Isn't it? Accept it, man. I'm making everything available for you and for everybody. You have to catch up with what is available. It's totally open. It's up to us. It's up to you now where you want to go. Don't keep yourself down. Don't have any guilt. It doesn't work. Just come on. Come on, man. And that's what you're waiting to hear. And I'm telling you, this is the truth. And you know it. Just free yourself. There's nothing holding you back. Everything is possible. I will help you to set up. One helper, two helpers. Just, yeah, maybe you have to pay them some. But that is okay. That's how the world goes around, no? Because I want everybody to be clear, no? Then you don't create any more guilt or trips. And you also say, it feels like excuses not to be responsible for myself. Yeah, it's like you are not allowed to take care of yourself, no? But you have to. That is why you are here. And for some reason, everything is possible now. Everything is open. I'm making it very clear for you. So is anybody holding you back? It's you. And that's the same with everybody. If it's anybody you think is holding you back, it's yourself. No, everything is open. Welcome. The doors are open. Okay, Tirt? Write to me, Tirt, if it's anything, okay? The impossible is possible. You believe that? You believe that? Huh? You have seen. You are doing already the impossible. You're coming here alone. You're going to Brazil. All this is happening. Get rid of all the doubts, man. How you feel now, Ted? Better? Okay, then you can leave. Okay. No, you will have a different journey back now, no? Because soon you come back again. You give it to yourself now, Ted. Give it to yourself. Don't forget your responsibility towards yourself. My friend, hurry up and turn within. There is no time to waste. One day soon they will dress you up and leave you with the dead. Have you forgotten your promise to yourself? You have become so involved in other people's ideas that you are neglecting your own. Childhood is lost in play. Youth is spent in dreaming, and old age is approaching. Then we look in the mirror and we weep. Our hearts keep reminding us, but we keep putting it off. Then the opportunity passes, and then we regret. Much better than to turn within while we can. Find the living master now, and your heart will light up, get a new glow at what he has to give you. Wake up quick. There is no time to waste. Beloved, you call this retreat the path of the mystic. When I feel this name, it comes to me very strong, the presence and an immense gratitude to Osho and Papaji for having given you to us. I have been feeling you very strong inside my heart, but I feel that I'm strongly attached to your physical presence. Once I heard you tell how much Osho was working inside you after he left the body. Can you tell us, beloved, how the Master was working with you until his work was completely finished? Eternal gratitude to you, beloved, and all the masters, for there is nothing more beautiful than this love. Much love, Yogendra. No, there is nothing more beautiful than this love. That's why it's the ultimate love affair. And when you love something, then of course you become attached to it, no? But how fortunate are those who become attached to that love? Otherwise people get attached to everything. My car, my shoes, my money, my relationships, my children, my image, my fame. This is what people get attached to, no? So that's why the mystic have said this is the ultimate love affair. And you get attached because it's the most beautiful, of course. But another thing also, it will free you because it's the last attachment. Because it's the most beautiful, then it is the highest. So it's the deepest attachment, but it's the last. After that, no attachments. So that is the game the master is playing. Because you need that to rise higher and higher, and the highest level still is the you and the master. To be attached then is the other. That's what you say. You have a strong attachment to my physical presence. After that, which is the whole thing, you become one, you melt, no? You realize yourself. Then no separation, then where's the attachment? So that is the art of the master and the disciple. This disciple, first, he has to look up, he has to respect, he has to serve. But for the master, he doesn't see himself as a master. It's a little uncomfortable. But because you need it, he's playing the game. Then the deeper you go in your evolution, in yourself, then you realize that this is my love, my friend. That is closer. And what does love do? If it's real love, then it's a melting. And that's why they always have compared that to the master-disciple relationship, because it's a deep love affair. But there's no games involved. There is no ego involved. It's a challenge for the disciple to lose the ego. And when he loses the ego, then there's only one. There's only love. So the master is already a pure clarity, love, bliss, silence. And coming closer to that, the disciple coming closer and closer, he becomes more and more also imbibing in that space of clarity, of emptiness, of bliss, of understanding, of peace. So when he's totally drowned or totally melted, then no more separation. What separation can there be there in love, in silence, in freedom? In the beginning, big difference. In the end, no difference. But then you will still be forever grateful for that, no? Because without him, you could never see it. It's the greatest mystery from existence side. This between a disciple and the master. Like Osho said, I'm like a window. You have been inside the dark room, stumbling in prison. Then suddenly the master opens a window. That is the master. You can see the whole starry night and the mountains and the rivers and the flowers and the animals. He gives you life back. It's a totally different dimension than the dimension of darkness, of that contained space of the ego. But he said, don't get attached to this frame, which is the form. Remember what he's showing you. But that's how it always has been. If you are a true lover, if you are a true disciple, if you are a devotee, you will become attached to the form, of course. Because it has given you something real, the most real. Once I heard you tell how much Osho was working inside you after he left the body. And that's how it is also sometimes. Because when he was there in the body, then I was attached to the body. When he left the body, then you had to really face yourself. And not only that, but when you have this intimacy with the master, which goes beyond the body, which is more in consciousness. When the master leaves his body, then all that is released into existence, all that consciousness, all that love. So those who are really in tune, they will get this shower of that consciousness. So in one way, you say how much Osho was working inside. He didn't do much. He's a lazy bugger like I am. But in some mysterious way, things happen. And it was just 1 year after he left. When he left his body, I went totally into a no-mind space because my whole life had been him up to that point. But I can't say I missed him because he was a very part of me. But I didn't know what to do. I knew something else had to happen, but I didn't know what, and I had no plans for myself. Because I hadn't had plans for myself as long as I had been with him, just to be with him. But then I fell sick, very sick with dengue fever, and I almost died. And maybe that was also a divine help. Because when you're almost dying and the organs in the body is shutting down and you are so delirious, then there's absolutely no resistance anymore. I totally surrender to death, to dying. And it was beautiful. But in some mysterious way, this body didn't die. But in that deep space, I felt like my master had changed every connection in all the brain and vacuumed cleaned all the dust everywhere. Very fine surgery. So when I managed to stand again and function, I was not the same. Everything was changed. And nobody understood. And none of his sannyasins also, the whole ashram. So then I was thrown back to myself. And in that space, without the master, you can go mad. Then it was only between me and him. And because of my love and trust and devotion to him, everything was fine. It didn't matter what the whole world would say. Because I knew. But then the melting had happened. It was no more separation. And then your whole soul becomes just gratefulness. So in that process, all my the vital currents inside got cleansed and rejuvenated, maybe. Since that time, nothing was there hindering the flow. But you don't know, I don't know what was happening. I just knew that I wasn't functioning like before. Then many, many months after, I was still thinking, is this going to last? Because I had satoris before, but they come and go. Then I was wondering, if this going to last? It doesn't seem like it's going away. But now I start accepting it. And then existence put me into contact with other enlightened beings. But that becomes more like friends. So when I met Papaji, from the first satsang, the first time he saw me and I saw him, he took care of me. He invited me home the same day, the same morning I came there. But the work was already done in a way. I was cooked. I was cooked, but I didn't know that the dish was, this was the dish. What dish? What? Who? Where? So he made me realize that this is it. Very easy job when the dish is ready, but you don't know. You're still standing in the kitchen wondering, is this finished or what? So then he was more, yeah, like my papa, but he just took care of me. So I had already gone through the process with the master, but it's the same thing. And other people, Ramesh, Girida, Kiranbhai, Dadaji, so many I met afterwards, without seeking them up, but they just came into my life, it was more like my friends. We became friends. Because I wasn't looking for a master. What could a master do? I had to accept that it had happened. So that's how it was. So you will always be tremendous grateful. And the guru, like Ramana said, guru, self, and God, same. So your guru is your higher self. You don't recognize yourself, your higher self. So then in some mysterious way, existence brings a self-realized person into your life to help you to accept that, to bring you back. Because by yourself you wouldn't understand that, you wouldn't see that. That's the meaning of the master as a mirror. So this attachment to the physical presence is totally, it has to be there, I think, because when you love something, you get attached, no? Look at the mother, how attached they get to a child, to the baby. And this is much deeper because it's your very soul. But that love will also free you. And after that, you will not get attached in the same way to anything, because your understanding is totally different. You have gone beyond the form. And without the master, none of these people would be there. Without Ramana, Papaji wouldn't be there. Without Osho, I wouldn't be there. Without Lao Tzu, Chang Tzu wouldn't be there. Without Shams, Rumi wouldn't be there. Without Nagarjuna, Milarepa wouldn't be there. And so it goes. sits the mystery. Everything is done, but nothing really happened. Meditate on it. The master-disciple relationship is the most mysterious thing that nobody can figure it out, because you have to become it. And when you become it on that journey, it's very difficult to talk about it, because it's something inner. It's so deep that most people are not in touch with that mystery. And they say you become what you love, no? So be careful what you love. There was also another great enlightened being that, well, he died 1 year after Osho, the same year where I had this disaster happen to me, which was my old friend Dilgo Rinpoche. And that also, you know, when these people leave the body, then they release, in one way, if you are connected, you even become more connected, because the form is not in the way. So you never need anything else. When this Dilgo, he wrote, because his master, when his master, it's the same thing, when his master left his body, then he was also totally lost. And he wrote this poem when he heard that his master had left the body. Oh, my beautiful qualified master, though I was following you, the Buddha in a person, I haven't come to a true understanding about your instructions, about your teaching. How can you leave me behind like an abandoned orphan? And this is how a true disciple sees the master, the Buddha in person. He is crying, how can you leave me behind? I haven't gotten the full understanding. I don't understand. I don't see yet. Your smiling eyes in your beautiful moon-like face, watching over me with loving kindness. It can't be seen. I can't see you with the eyes of my bad karma. Your son cannot bear it to be without his father. Your sweet, clear voice, so inspiring and beautiful, is simultaneously with the vast and profound Dharma nectar. But its clear strength of you cannot be heard by my ears anymore. Your son has no choice but to cry out for help. You see his desperation, because his work wasn't finished, no? Master, abiding in the pure lands of the 10 direction, that's where you are. Though you are refreshed by unconditioned bliss, look at me, your abandoned student, with your wisdom eyes, please, and rest your loving hand on my head. This, you can see the longing. the beauty of this Dilgu. Your disciple living in this impure realm of this world. I'm daydreaming and pondering about how you are dwelling, where you are, among the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Oh, my beloved, only Father, I cannot bear it any longer. You have dissolved into the inner space, unique protector. Throw me the hook of your natural compassion. Right now, without increase or decrease, and please draw me into your delightful presence. I beg you. And this Dilgu, he became the greatest master of his time in Tibetan Buddhism. And he got hundreds of lamas that he was his master for. That will cry again to him the same way. This love and this understanding and this longing, they have totally forgotten in the West, and they miss immensely out on the most important in life. And when Dilgu left his body in Bhutan, and he had hundreds of lamas coming, crying, and his whole royal family in Bhutan was his disciples. So that means the whole country also. Because they are very innocent still there. They say 50,000 people came. And all from their heart. That is the difference between the East and the West. And the West miss a lot. And that's why I'm always been much more at home in the East. So lucky are those who get that attachment. That's the only attachment that will lead you to freedom. But don't get stuck to the window frame. Look at the stars beyond. Aum Shanti. It's the light of love, of truth that will guide you in this life and beyond life. I had met Osho in the past, and that love made me find him in this life. And maybe that's why also I have this strong connection with Dilgo. And not only him, but with everybody, because that is your true family. And in the body, or after they left the body, they will always be with you. That is love. Love loves love.
Chatter.